You know, you kind of touched on it a little bit, but I feel like Portland, it's not like they, have it all figured out. Everything is perfect. But I look at them and kind of like you said, they were in a position last night to take a chance on somebody because you found Natumani, because you found Denny, and you've got Scoot and Shaden and all this other stuff. You got an asset like Jeremy Grant that you can move at some point. Klingon's waiting there. They didn't have to be by the book, and this is the best guy on the list. Let's take a shot. Let's take a shot. We've been in the draft for a little bit. We've gotten some good ball players. We have assets that we can move if we, because I think at this point, they're looking for that vet. I don't think they're going to be looking for a draft guy to take them over the top. It's move those assets for a vet if they ever get to that point. But I'm okay with it. It's like, yeah, let's take a shot. Let's see what we got right here. This is the draft and the situation to do so.
And apparently his workout with Portland was incredible. Like just insane. What I got back was the kid is ridiculously skilled. And he's 9, he just turned 20 today. So, and
Oh,
he's
wow.
today. Yeah, so apparently he's going to play right away. And some people thought he was going to be like a draft and stash. Some people thought, okay, he's just going to be a developmental project. I think they want him to play minutes now. And they think they have something in him. So, and I think that the logic and the reason behind what they're doing is all about athletic, versatile guys who are defensively sound. And now he's a little bit slow-footed from what I see and hear, but he's a great rim protector. He can block shots just like Klingon. I think they want their bigs to defend the rim, and I think they want beasts, athletic, on-ball defenders around the perimeter. As my new tagline for the Blazers is, it's only middies, kiddies. That's all you got. That's all you're getting from us.
Okay.
I like it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of middies, I told you we were texting last night, and I told you I'm getting this feeling like DeMar DeRozan's going to be around. And, it's hard to read tone through text. I think Trista just wrote back, why? I
I
read
just
it
wrote
as, why? That's how I read it.
Yeah, it
Why
was
would they do that?
why? It was really like, does he? I don't care who wants him there. Does he want
So everybody keeps saying that. I don't know that DeMar doesn't want to be here. Everyone can point to the podcast after the De'Aaron Fox trade and all of that. He didn't say, I don't want to be here. He said, yeah, I came to play with Fox and Sabonis, but yeah, I mean, we'll see what
It's kind
happens.
of like a we'll see.
Yeah, but I mean, he's also working out with Mason Jones and Doug Christie, and I'm leaving. I feel like I'm.
Zach
Oh,
LaVine.
Zach LaVine. Yeah. So I don't think it's the craziest thought that DeMar DeRozan is still here. Also, about I don't know. There's rumblings that Pat Riley's doing Pat Riley stuff again, and they're like, man, I ain't dealing with Miami. And I don't know. Maybe the Clippers, jump back into this. I don't know.
I think we're a little tired of Miami, all of us,
I think, yeah, collectively, everybody is tired of
Collectively, we're
Miami.
just like, okay, Pat,
Yeah.
whatever you say.
Y'all are so mid, and you act like you're the champions.
And just like, oh, Heat culture, Heat culture. So what has Heat culture
Heat
done at
culture.
any
You have 40
time
wins.
recently? You're like, I know that they were a top seed a few years ago, but that was the most Fugazi top seed
Yeah,
that we've
no.
seen. This is Fugazi. I thought what Utah did took a level of no F's given that only Danny, Trader Danny would do. Trader Danny and the Sun.
Then the sun.
And the Sun. For a kid to say, not playing for you, don't draft me. I decline any opportunity for you to speak to me or for me to work out for you. And him to be like, you know what? Psh, we don't care. We're doing it. That's what I want. That take back that control. I don't care what you say, what you want. This is what we think is in the best interest of our team. We got you under team control for 4 years. So you either retire or you show up to Salt Lake City.
He's gonna have to show up.
The look
That
on
was
his face,
oh, that was
he looks
Steve
dead.
Francis-esque.
Oh.
The light went out in his eyes immediately.
Like I said last night, I ain't seen one of those in a while, man. Everybody usually been happy. I ain't seen a Steve Francis in a while.
Did you see, was it Boyles, Colin, the kid who went to Canada?
Yes, it was Murray Boyles. Yeah, Colin Murray Boyles.
Did you see that?
I didn't see him.
So that they transcribed it as like, man, drafted to Canada. F. And like, he's not like, I mean, he doesn't look as mad as Ace Bailey does.
Yeah.
But it's, he's like.
What's man, great about Ace.
Brothers, y'all got to realize the camera is on you.
Oh, it's come on,
you fellas. Time.
Come on, fellas.
Ace at the press conference tried to walk it back. And he was like, oh, yeah, I didn't even know they wanted me. It's like so crazy. I had no idea they had any interest.
Said, that's crazy.
And it's like, what do you mean? You declined working out for them. What do you mean you didn't know that they had interest in you? Mm. And he's like, oh, I hear it gets cold in Utah. I hear it gets really hot in Utah. Guess I'm going to have to get a good heater. The kid. I'm having doubts about about the neurons firing.
Yeah.
You know who I'm not having doubts about? Now, this is going to be no surprise to Trista, but these are two of my boys here. Uh-huh. These are my boys in this
uh-huh.
draft.
Uh-huh.
Boy, Trey Johnson and Jeremiah Favors. We might be looking at two all-stars.
Opposite spectrums of the fashion game last night. One was a big winner. One, at least for me, not so much.
Yeah, Jeremiah, I didn't like the chains over. If he didn't have a tie on, it would have worked. But I didn't like the chains with the tie on.
I got you. I thought it was okay. I mean.
If he would have just had the button-up white with the chains, I think that would have looked better.
Yeah, it would have. I think either he needed a shorter chain or he needed no.
Yeah, you can't wear two chains the same length either. You can't do that.
You can't.
You
can't.
Gotta stagger them.
It's chain etiquette. Like, come on, man. Like, look, one, two. Like, they got to be different lengths.
Come on.
Trey, on the other hand, just kind of missed.
Trey was just kind of there. At least he wasn't like the one dude.
Yeah, I mean, Trey is like, he got that from what? Like, Men's Warehouse.
Well, not like the other guy.
Well, there was one guy that walked out where we were watching the red carpet walk out like, oh. He lost his luggage. Like, he must have, he has on his, like, hey, guys, I need a suit. And they just, here, this one's fits. Put it on.
Derek Queen looked really bad.
Derek Queen.
Maybe that's who it was.
No, it wasn't Derek Queen, but Derek Queen was real basic. He was a light-skinned brother.
Oh, it was a light-skinned dude? I was going to say, I thought it was a white dude, but.
Well, the white dude was, he had the brown suit on with just like, he was just doing here your taxes.
Cooper Flagg was there to do your taxes. Cooper Flagg did not look like the number one overall pick in the draft. He looked like he was going to show you how you can write off your SUV for tax purposes.
Yeah, he didn't. And the lineup of the goatee was a little.
There isn't a shred of aura surrounding Cooper Flagg right now. Not a drop.
Not a drop. I'm looking at. I thought Neek looked really good. By the way,
Neek did look good.
Yeah, Neek looked great.
We weren't even thinking he was going to go to the Kings. We was like, look at that blazer.
Yeah,
that's
Neek
nice.
Looked great. Yep.
You're like, ooh, look at that Kings purple blazer there. Because what made me think of this is that Neek looked like he knew he was going to Sacramento. Mm. I think, not to bring it back to Portland, I think Jan Hansen knew. I think he had a commitment to go to Portland. And I think, because you know how it is with clutch sports. Which is a wild agency for him to be with, right? Are you not shocked by like Young Hunter?
Yeah,
clutch got him.
Is a clutch sports client.
Griffin's like, I gotta have this guy.
So they brought him to the draft and put him in the stands. Like, listen, believe me, you're night one. That's what it is. He had his little white suit on, did his deal. I was like, okay.
Yeah, he was
okay,
looking fresh. He was looking fresh. Yeah. What about the guy? I'm sorry, I forgot his
can
name.
I say, that has to be satisfying, right, though, as a player, to be in the stands, to not be invited, and then to have your name called that early, while all of those guys are sitting down there at the little invite tables with their family, and you're just like,
Rich told you be there and dress nice. Yeah. I'm telling you, Rich told you. But what about, oh boy, I forgot who it was, I'm sorry, who was in the suite, and they had to rush him down to the You see that clip? I forgot who it was. He got drafted first round, obviously, because there was only one round yesterday. But I'm thinking old school. But he had rented out a suite at the Barclays, and they're like, hey, somebody like ran in a panic, like, hey, you about to be drafted. Like, let's go. And they're like running down the hallway, running to the elevator. And like, I think it's one of the, I thought it was an NBA guy, but they were like giggling and happy on the way. It was like, bro, you about to be drafted, dapping up, all this other stuff. Like, it was a dope moment. I forgot who that player was, though.
I don't know who that was either. You know who looked really good was Carter Bryant.
He did.
Serving up a look for GQ.
Very
that
fresh.
Would be, if D-Lo got drafted.
All right. Yeah, I got plenty of those mentions last night.
If D-Lo got drafted, the outfit would be Carter Bryant's outfit. Works with the little red bone skin, you know what I mean? A little dark maroon, little V all the way to the nips. You know what I mean?
Nips.
It looked amazing.
So I'll tell you, I didn't like, because Casey and I spotted that one right away. Mm-hmm. Yep. I didn't love the jacket. There was something about the jacket that I didn't
like. There was no lapel to it.
Okay, that's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly. But when we saw it, I was like, man, something's off with that jacket that I'm not feeling. However, I do love the look
of it
the blazer, no shirt look.
The necklace
is the move.
Perfect. The move. Brooch, chef's kiss. Mm. Chef's kiss.
Can you guess who I might have been if I was drafted? I got a person in mind, but let's see what you think.
Let's see. I'm trying to get all the
looks
here.
Now we got to look at. Now we got to look at all of them. Figure out which. Oh, Trey Johnson. You've been Trey Johnson out there with the long, with the Jermaine Dupri joints, and
I wouldn't have been Trey Johnson.
Let's see.
With the Jermaine Dupri socks.
No, I'm just kidding. That wouldn't have been Casey.
Actually, there's two people
here.
There's two people.
I'm trying to look here and see what it is. So I don't think it's. I don't think it's Ace Bailey, because that's terrible.
Nah, he looked
good. I don't think it's... I'm only seeing shoes here. Not great.
You're not Jeremiah.
No.
Who's We're low on time. So that's it would have been...
Hold on.
We just need
okay,
one...
Okay, go ahead. Who
it would have been Sorber. How you say my man from Georgetown?
Oh, Sorber?
It would have been Sorber. Or Dylan Harper. I thought Dylan Harper looked really nice.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, Dylan
I was
going to
say
great.
Dylan Harper.
Yeah, but it would have been black on black.
I'll say this again, because I'm tough on bro. The best Devin Carter ever looked was draft night.
He looked great draft
that
night.
That was the best Devin Carter has ever looked. Mm-hmm. He's looked
You know
like,
what he looked really bad is at the summer league when he did this to me.
When he looked really bad.
Don't, you know he looked really bad was them.
Don't worry, TK.
That's the day he died. That's the day he died with Kings fans.
Don't worry, TK. He's likely going to die as a King soon.
I honestly was like, listen, I don't know if you know, but I kind of like have an influential voice in like whether you stick or twist, baby. And I'm getting a lot of twist right now from you.
Well, we probably won't have to deal with that much longer.
No. Probably won't. No. I'm interested in meeting Neek. Is Neek represented by Bill Duffy? I think he is, isn't he?
Oh, I haven't gotten that deep into the. I don't know that that's
if
good.
He is, then he'll be at the WME party, and we'll do the same thing that we did with Devin.
Good stuff.
Check the scene out. We're low on time. You guys got to run.
We do. We love you though. This was fire.
I love you.
And tell Mama Crick. Cookie time, baby.
Yeah, what kind of cookies?
It's
real quick. 10 seconds. What kind of cookies?
Why do you hate cookies?
Chocolate chip cookie.
Bro, what are you doing?
I didn't even get to tell you about the man who died on my plane.
Oh my gosh. Bro, that's crazy.
It's crazy.
Tuesday.
Okay. We'll save the story for Tuesday.
Okay. Appreciate you, TK.
Take care, TK.
Love y'all.
Love you back. Now, Trista Crick right there. A little run in here on this Thursday. We'll come back. Drake, hey, he's an all-star lineup.
Drake, I just text Drake. You got to see what Drake is doing, man. Come on, man.
Steelo and KC, Sacramento Sports Leader. We'll find out next on ESPN 1320. Our man Drake Uyu joining us from the links right now.
I'm about to say
live from
Pebble Beach, yeah, I guess. Man. You know how he do. You know, we're Pebble Beach.
Our man Drake. Drake just asked if we're excited, and it's like, man, you know this stuff. You know this stuff better than we do, man. You do this stuff for a living. Like yeah, we like the pick. You try not to get overly excited about college highlights and things like that. This is the 24th pick in the draft, but yeah, Neek looked like a solid young player. Actually, an old player. He looks like a solid 5-year veteran. He's 24 years old in February.
Yeah. I mean, it was nice to see the Kings trade in to get in. Scott's trying to get some action his first draft. And Neek was an interesting player that became available. Clearly, they had a lot of interest in. And I thought it was a nice trade. And it should be he's a nice young player.
Are you familiar with his game to the point where, like, you looked at him like some of these other guys and say, hey, this is a pro that might be a lottery, late lottery type guy and fail for whatever reason, and the Kings were able to swoop in on a guy like that? Do you see him the same way as some of these other guys did, and I guess even the Kings, because they moved in the first round to get him?
That delay is beating our ass right now. I'm not sure if Drake even here. Drake might be frozen. I'm not even sure. Look, if Drake gonna be frozen, I'm taking his ass off the screen. We just can't have Drake up there like looking like that. All right, I think we got Drake moving. Oh yeah, Drake out there on hole number 9 out there. He's
Something. That's on me, fellas.
No, you're good. You're good.
No,
you're straight.
You're straight.
No, I started following him maybe around January, and I actually, you guys know I'm doing some agent stuff now, and I actually ended up sending one of my players to Colorado State, and so I started following them a little bit more closely, watching some more film. I got to know Ali Farouk Namesh, who's their new head coach there, who was really close with Neek and was like huge in his development. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, the more I started watching and diving into his game, and it's really tough because, like, I think that you look at his development over the past couple of years, and I think that I personally love older players. I think that they're a little more sure of themselves. They're mature. Coaches are more likely to trust them early on in their careers. I'm also, like, very sensitive to making sure that, like, players are – like, basketball is situational, as you guys know. And so making sure that a player is, like, set up for success, especially a young player, is really important. And so I think that, like, coming to Sacramento, I think he could be a great role player. To me, it's just a matter of – I'm not sure he's, like, an all-star level player or starter right away. I think he could be, like, a quality – like, like a Josh Hart, which I think is, like, a great – obviously a great player – but you have to have the right pieces around you. And I think that, like, you know, we'll wait and see what Scott decides to do and with the direction of the roster. But, you know, there's a lot of qualities I really like about Neek. I think that, there's also a lot of question marks I think I have. I think that he fell for a couple of reasons. I think the age is, you know, I don't knock age as much as other people do in front offices, but I think that, like, you know, the size is probably a question. And then the shooting, like, how real is the shooting, I think is what's going to come down to. But I love how he can do it. I love versatile players. I love switchable players. I think he does all of those things. And so I think Sac got a great piece and, again, a mature player and someone that the new front office and Doug can kind of utilize. I think he's, like, very comparable to me to, like, a Devin Carter type player where they're great role guys on a winning team. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it's just a matter of, like, what's going to be around him. But I think they got a good piece.
Well, that's concerning. is Devin Carter, like, I'm sorry. That is Devin Carter good?
It's tough. I mean, it's hard to, it's a small sample size. And I think that, you know, obviously there's some questions still as far as, like, to me it's the shot making. That's like any young player. It's like, can you make shots and space the floor and can you guard? And I don't know that he's been able to prove that yet. He showed it. I mean, G League and NBA, I mean, as you guys know, it's a big jump. And so, but again, like, there was a lot of just weird roster composition and lack of consistency. Young players, it's really hard. I mean, the adjustment is and the plan, I'm not sure with Devin. He had a rough year, so I feel like hopefully he can have a good summer and they can get some level of consistency. I think would be helpful for a guy like Devin and a guy like Neek. But I think that there's definitely some concern. I mean, again, to me, like, size is super important when you're talking about what translates. I think the, like, positional size is everything. I think Dev's still kind of in between that, like, one and two to me. And he's a little undersized to play the two. And so, like, he's a piece, but you got to be able to figure out how to use that piece. And it's going to be very similar, I think, with Neek. So, I don't know.
He did
start pretty early
behind the eight ball with the injury and all of that. I might be a little tough on him, but I'm just not the biggest.
I think it's fair, supporter. D. But I'm also like, again, I like to give young players the benefit of the doubt early,
sure.
Even though he's not like a true, like, you know, one and done, but. It takes a little bit of time sometimes.
And you talked about it a little bit with Neek, too, because I talked about some of the things that I really like about his games and some of the concerns that I have. And I think the difference between him being a guy that's around 2-3 years and then shuffles around the G League and being Josh Hart or being a guy that's around for 10-11 years is that jump shot. He improved it throughout his college career, but still, we talked about how, you know, we always talk about just shooting Drake, but you look at it and it's still like, I'm not confident in that shot. You know, just seeing him, you know, catch and shoot, and it's not as fluid as you always want it to be. Is that kind of what it comes down to you as well? If he can get comfortable with that 3-point shot and be a true 3-and-D guy, you're looking at a guy that can play 10 years, maybe get two contracts in this league.
It's everything. I think that, like, floor spacing, especially in today's game, it's all about, you know, space. And, like, I think he does, like, a lot of – I think he's a great cutter without the ball and, you know, can play make a little bit. But, like, it really comes down to the shot. I mean, you see in the playoffs, too, if you want to be on a winning team, like, you got to be able to make open shots. And, you know, I think it was Stan Vecini had mentioned, like just like interesting points, you know, like he shot it better his last 2 years in school. But if you look at his shooting numbers against like tier A, like quality teams, significantly lower. And so, I mean, to me, like, I think it comes with confidence. It comes with repetition. It comes with, I mean, he's going to have opportunity, but that's the real separator is like what allows people to stick. It's, can you make shots? And so, yeah, I think that's like a valid, we'll see. Yeah.
Is that the thing that Keon is really missing to be like a real, like, I won't say top tier, but real solid NBA player is the consistent shot making?
Yes. But I think that he's, like, had, you know, games where he's gone off and hit six threes and, like, shown an ability to, like, really impact a game. And I love his – I mean, he's, like, a great example of what someone like Neek would need to be able to prove night in and night out. And same with Devin. I mean, but, yeah, I think that that's, like, ultimately what allows a guy to stick in the league. And so but, you know, I think that one thing I was going to say, and this is what Keon has, is, like, the intangibles of these guys. Like, I heard amazing things about Neek as a person and, like, a worker. And, like, you know, you start building a roster with, like, those types of personalities and the character. I mean, it's so important. I think it's, like, my biggest takeaway after leaving the Kings was, like, you know, it's one thing to really fall in love with a kid's game, but, you know, what's the makeup of these kids, I think, is, like, almost more important than the than the game sometimes. So,
no doubt. Drake, hey, man, I see you on the links, you know. Yeah, I think the Pacific Ocean is on the other side of that hill over there, so I know how you're doing it, man. We're going to let you get back to that, man, but we appreciate you. And I see that Illini polo you got on. Hey, man. They got some shorts, man. You know, hey, holla at your boy, man. They got some shorts. Holla at your boy.
Yeah, they it's a big time program. They've sent me some gear, so I got you guys.
My dog.
Right on. Jerry, yes, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for carving out a few minutes for
us. Thank you, guys.
Brother.
Of course. Of course. Yes,
all right. It's amazing.
Back to my bad golf game.
No, that's good. And our women demographic just logged off. So thanks, man. Appreciate you. Our guy Drake right there making time for us. And yep, there all the ladies went. Just one just by gone. One. Just watching the numbers drop as Drake
leaves. I think we really did go from 22,000 to 24 when he came on. And well, now we're
back down.
Trickling back down.
Drake left us. It's tough being the ugliest person in the room, man. God damn it. God damn it, man.
You know, he said a lot of great things, but one of the things that he said that really stuck with me when you talk about a new regime is getting guys in there with the character you're looking for. Not that the guys before are bad characters or anything like that, but, you know, you're starting your regime. You got your type of player that you want in there. Neek fits that. And just as much as basketball talent and skill set and all this other stuff, you've got to look at some of these guys that you're inheriting if you're Scott Perry and say, do they fit what I want in a locker room? Do they fit what I want? Do some of these guys who seemingly might be out the door, are they kind of like, oh, I kind of want it. Like, let's talk. I want you to stay type stuff. So, that's a factor in, I think, draft and some of these moves that we may see coming up.
Well, Hammer's talked about it a couple of times, how Scott, you know, kind of flipped that Knicks roster pretty quick. You know, we've got different options, two ways, expirings, all of these different things here on the current Kings roster. So as Ham laid out yesterday, it's probably not going to be too difficult for him to flip this roster over. But I do wonder if there are pieces on it where he's like, yeah, that doesn't really fit what we're trying to do here, which is why I get stuck on Malik. It's why I get stuck on Devin Carter. Devin Carter, I can't figure out Devin Carter the player. I can't figure out Devin Carter the person. I can't figure out the redeeming quality of Devin Carter's past. He started last season behind the eight ball. And I feel like I'm pretty good with this stuff. Where I give, you know, similar to Drake, I try to give these, you know, brothers it takes time. I'm still maybe the last person in this city that's patient with Keegan. I'm still of the belief. I think Keegan's. I don't. I'm not convinced we've seen it all, and I'm having a hard time doing that with Devin Carter, and I can't figure out. Maybe it's the Trista stuff. Maybe that rubs me the wrong way a little bit. Or maybe it's just like I just don't see it in him as a ball player. And I've tried to remove the roster because I've done this with DeMar DeRozan. Mm-hmm. Is DeMar DeRozan, the way he plays basketball, the problem? Or is DeMar DeRozan's fit on the Sacramento Kings team the problem? Because this Sacramento Kings team wasn't good enough. Right. So, I mean, maybe you meet in the middle of those two. Maybe it has to be one or the other, but I asked myself the same question about Devin Carter. Like, is Devin Carter good, or was just Devin Carter in a bad spot last year? Did the way his career started affect him? Like, he was clearly a different player from his debut to his post-G League play. Like, he was better. It was very, very clear that he was better. I don't know.
But it's also fair to not know. You know, especially with how his rookie season went, not even being able to have a training camp or start on time and, you know, thrown into the fire halfway through the season, not being ready, going back to the G League, getting his body right, getting his reps back up, and then coming back and looking a little different. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure either. I look at it where I saw enough that second stint with the big club that I would be like, okay, all right, you can come back next year. Because if it would have been like that first stint, come back next year.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But I saw enough like, okay, maybe you just needed time. Maybe you needed a training camp, all this other stuff. Because I did see something from him on both sides of the floor that I really liked from him. But the thing about it is, with the way the Kings roster is set up, they may not be they may not have time for all that. They're like, hey, we're trying to add this piece, add that piece, trying to be competitive, trying to win. And quite honestly, you might be one of our best assets right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not sure, we'll just keep on moving. Plus, even if we're not sure, if we're wrong or if the highest that we think that you can get, it's not something like Tyrese Halliburton. You know what I mean? It's not that. Like, you can be a really good player, but you're not going to come back. We're like, man, I can't believe we just let go of Devin Carter. It could be like a Gary Trent type situation. Gary Trent's a good ball player. Gary Trent's about to make some money, yeah. Has made some money in this league. But nobody in Sacramento is looking at letting go of Gary Trent the same way they look at letting go of Tyrese Halliburton. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if they think that might be a ceiling for him, it's easier to walk away from him if need be.
Mm-hmm. I still get stuck on that being a wasted draft pick. I just feel like Monty missed so bad.
Yeah.
I feel like he missed so bad on that draft pick, man.
I agree. I think he did miss. No disrespect to Devin, but I think,
like, McCain, even if he gets it together, yeah. Like, even if he, we become, hey, no, Devin's a fine basketball player.
They have better players.
That's it. And that's truly how you judge drafts. Like, you judge by the players who were taken, after you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes doing that with Sacramento is painful. As everyone's aware of, there's a Hall of Fame list. But really, that's true for a lot of teams. Like, it's particularly piercing for the Sacramento Kings, but, like, it's there. You look at the players that are taken after. There's a couple of picks. Like, I think Davion's like, hey, who are you really going to take after Davion? Like, you could make arguments for guys. Like, man, it's perfectly fine. With Devin, though, it's tough because you could probably run through a couple of them where it's like, hey, you could have done this, you could have done this. McCain's the toughest by far, and it's like, all right.
To your point, though, there's not a lot of teams. We talked about this yesterday with the draft and luck and all this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a lot of teams at all that draft well. Like, if you went around the league, OKC obviously comes to mind.
Sam Presti drafts well, very well.
Really well.
Yeah.
San Antonio draft well? Castle.
I mean, so, like,
they're –
like, guys, so that okay, now I feel like the conversation is getting too nuanced because San Antonio draft well? Sure, you would think so, but do those guys do well once they get to San Antonio? Or did they find a gem who was going to be a gem no matter where he was? And so, but they found him, so it works. Or did they find a guy who was a little rough around the edges, got with San Antonio, and was like, yo, San Antonio helped make this kid good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how to do that because I do believe there is a difference in the organizations you go to.
And they're also they've earned this, but they also get a little bit like the Patriots treatment. Because it'd be like, San Antonio, man, they draft well. They found Parker, Ginobili, Kawhi. That was 15 years ago.
Yeah,
they got Sohan right now. Yeah. Are they doing a great job with him? Devin Vassell, Keldon Johnson, like, these are the guys that I'm talking. This is a whole new regime, and it's like when I mention the Patriots, it's like Bill Belichick. You know, he finds anybody. Well, the last 5-7 years, he couldn't find anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to kill Harry out there in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
So
hey, some of us were also fooled by that as well.
I'm one of them. I'm one of those
Randy Moss.
But, to your original point, like, when you start to, I was just thinking about that as you were saying it, like, there's not a lot of teams that draft really well consistently. I think Toronto does. Toronto's a team that would be on that list. Obviously, OKC. Somebody says Memphis. I think Memphis does as well. Memphis does a good job. So I think there's more teams that quote-unquote draft poorly then draft good.
I agree with that. And I think the way we laid it out, like looking at Philadelphia yesterday, looking at the number one picks in the last 10 years, knowing Philly got the two that worked out the least, you look at that run that Cleveland had where – like there's an Anthony Bennett draft in there. You know, like, and you could talk about how bad the draft is. Like, it's tough to miss at 7. It's tough to miss at 13. It is brutal to miss at 1. Mm-hmm. Most teams don't have a LeBron James that wants to come back and play for them.
Right.
Most teams like Philadelphia aren't willing to suck for the better part of a decade to hope to land on what? 2 of their 6 lottery picks? Like, when you look at the percentages of it, the percentages are it's bananas. Like baseball. Yeah, it's crazy.
You're a Hall of Famer if you get 3 out of 10 right.
Right. And that's nuts.
Yeah.
Like, that's absolutely nuts. But it's the game, man, and you hope, which is why, you know, watching the stuff with Neek last night, it's like, man, this kid looks solid. Like, he looks good. But I'm also not going to do the thing. Oh, look at what he did against Colorado. Look look what he did in the tournament. It's like, yeah. All right, man. Like, I like what I see, and that's where I'm at. Scott Perry obviously likes what he saw with him. It's a player that you someone asked this last night, and apologies to the crew for not remembering who, but someone asked the question. I think it was Matt, actually. Like, they traded up to get, like, they traded into this draft because they wanted you.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking to Neek on the Zoom call. And it's like, yo, that says something, one, about the young man, but it also says something about the way the team feels about the young man. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the idea of they're drafting the player that's there. It's, we have watched this kid enough, we have watched this young man enough to where we don't have the ability to just draft him. We have to do extra work to go draft him, and we have to be extremely calculated with it.
Yeah.
I think that says something.
For sure, man. And talking to Drake, he talked about, you know, how he looks at Neek probably is like a really good rotational guy, maybe never a starter or anything like that. And I'm like, that's cool. Like, that's great. Like, you need more of those guys on this roster, depth pieces. Keon Ellis, as much as we love him, he's a borderline starter, but we all love Keon. And we all look at him as a valuable piece to trying to get the Kings on the right track. So if you were able to get a taller, small forward version of Keon Ellis in this draft with Neek Clifford, in a draft that you started off with no picks, but you were able to get into the late, in the mid-20s and get that type of production, that would be fantastic. I think that would be fantastic. So I see the same thing. I don't see him as being like a starter, especially right away on this team with how that roster is going to be, or we think it's going to be. But if he's a contributor, a rotational guy, 18 to 22 minutes a night, every night, taking nothing off the table, man, that's a win. That's a win, and I think he can do that.
We'll come back. We'll talk more NBA draft. We'll talk more Sacramento Kings. We'll talk Scott Perry and what he said last night about what he believes the identity of this basketball team is, or will be. That's next here with D'Lo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Let me find my man Chris here. Chris asks us, which Kings player gets traded first, in your opinion?
It depends. Do they do it in alphabetical order, or is it who goes first on the Shams tweet? How does that work?
Because
I think it's going to be multiple people.
You think so?
Yeah, I think it'll be tomorrow. I don't think it'll be a... if it's Malik Monk, let's just say that, because we've been talking about that. I don't think it's a Malik Monk only trade. I think it'll be multiple people. So to answer the question without being trying to be funny, I think I think Malik and Devin Carter will be the ones.
I was thinking about that earlier when someone asked what a Malik Emmanuel Quickly trade might look like, and you know, I don't know. Like I have no idea. Like the teams are normally trying to conduct various forms of business when they make a trade, and it's not always just I just want to improve my team. Like, there's contracts, there's different things involved. Maybe Toronto has a couple of other assets they'd like to to move on from, or maybe they're not the best assets for them, but they'd like to move on from them. But I was trying to figure out if there's a scenario where something has worked out with Toronto and Malik and Devin Carter are traded together. Mm-hmm. And I centered on no. I landed on no, I should say. I don't think they are. But the answer to Chris's question, in my opinion, who do I think the first trade is going to be? It's the same as you. I think Malik is getting traded. Mm-hmm. Again, the noise has gotten a little too loud. And I will state for the record, me and Kenny are just minding our own business. We're not bothering anybody. But, man, we're starting to get calls and texts. And, I mean, we've been hearing things for a few weeks. I mean, the DeMar DeRozan thing didn't just fall out of the sky. Like, you start to hear stuff. Like, and to me, it all makes sense. It all makes sense to ask the question, is DeMar DeRozan the problem or is the roster the problem?
Right.
If you hated how, you know, the roster was misbalanced, okay, roster was misbalanced, find me. But what's the player at a different position that you feel like is better than DeMar DeRozan that you can acquire? Shoot, we did this with Trey, LaMelo. We've done this with a variety of different players. So I'll ask the question as it pertains to DeMar DeRozan, just like we did with Trey and LaMelo and these other guys, just like we did with John Collins. If not DeMar DeRozan, then who? Who is the player you feel Scott Perry and this team can go acquire by using DeMar DeRozan as an asset that will make the Sacramento Kings better? We're all fake GM in this thing, and that's perfectly okay. It's one of the, you know, fun aspects of it's one of the fun yet infuriating aspects, because rarely when you're fake GMing does it go your way.
Mm-hmm.
So who? You got a consistent 22-3-4, sorry, point per game score.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's a lot to make up for, you know, at that position, shooting guard, small forward, whatever you want to call him right now. But that's just, and we have a different premise. And maybe Scott Perry and Doug Christie has a different premise. Everybody says that a lot of the issues last year were DeMar DeRozan's fault. Maybe Doug Christie and Scott Perry look at it like, nah, it wasn't. Like, he kind of had to, because we didn't have anybody else that would shoot the basketball or be consistent. If anybody knows where the real issues will lie, even more than Scott Perry, it'd be Doug Christie. You know what I mean? Doug Christie was the one game in and game out trying to get these guys through. And if he looks at DeMar DeRozan and says, we can be successful with this guy, we can win with this guy, it wasn't a bad fit with DeMar DeRozan. We were a bad fit for DeMar DeRozan. Not he was a bad fit for us. We didn't do enough around him to either take the pressure off of him or take the workload off of him or anything. We've got to be better, and that's where Scott comes into play. So, Kings fans, I would trust that. If Doug Christie is sitting there and saying, hey, like, DeMar's fine here, that wasn't the problem, show that decision some respect. It's the guy who was literally trying to get a job based on DeMar DeRozan. So if he thought DeMar DeRozan was a problem, then he escaped not getting not having a job by the skin of his teeth because DeMar was such a problem. Why would he sign up for that again?
Yeah. Let's talk to y'all, man. We've been wanting to hear from you all day. Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Let's start with our man, Leezy. Leezy, what's happening?
Yo, what's up, D-Lo, Casey?
What's up, Leezy?
We got you, baby. There was more. Got you. Kim Folk, everything. I thought
we was getting the catchphrase after that.
Oh, no, not today.
Okay.
Hey, guys, I just had a quick question, man. With the draft being over and teams kind of settling into what they want to do for a free agency, I had a question. Do you guys see the Kings maybe going after DeJounte Murray from the Pelicans because they just got Jordan Poole, drafted Fears, and his contract isn't that crazy, and you can move DeRozan for him straight up. But I would imagine the Pelicans will want more with that.
No, I thought the same thing when they drafted Fears last night at 7. And I think I told D'Lo as much when we were doing 1 or 2 files. Like, they got Fears and Poole?
Yeah.
Like, how does that work? And then first you think about DeJounte.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got to go. Obviously, it's not going to be Jordan Poole. I don't think it ain't going to be Fears. DeJounte Murray coming off a torn Achilles. He may be a guy that they're looking to move. And he might not be – it might not take DeMar DeRozan.
32 points. Well, this is the other side of that. I'm sorry. This is the flip side of that.
Damn.
30 mil this upcoming season. Mm-hmm. 32.7 in the 26-27 season. And then a player option for 30.7 the following year. Mm. So you've got 3 years at, you know, 31 annually. For DeJounte Murray, who, as you noted, coming off the Achilles injury.
Yeah. I'd take a chance. If the deal was right, I'd take a chance on DeJounte Murray. And I say take a chance because we don't know how he's going to come back from that Achilles, but maybe that's not even a chance. Maybe it's not a risk.
Do you remember when he got? Did he get hurt early last year?
Oh,
that's right. Yeah. Oh man. Well, one, that's tough. Two, it's not the worst thing in this conversation. If you're going to come back from an Achilles injury, come back from one that you hurt on the first day of the season.
Mm-hmm.
DeJounte, 17.5.
He's a defender as well.
Yeah.
He's a guy that can defend on that perimeter level. He kind of – his shooting is suspect. But if you're worried about Zach LaVine defending and being able to defend, and if you still have DeMar DeRozan there and you're worried about him being able to defend, having a guy like DeJounte Murray, who is a good defender at the point guard position on that perimeter, that would help alleviate some of those concerns.
Do I have this wrong? I have DeJounte Murray playing 31 games last year. Am I wrong?
No, that could have been the case. That could have been.
Okay.
I thought it was opening night, but that could have been the case.
Okay.
Well, no, you're a matter of
fact. He got hurt. It looks like he got hurt in January. He got hurt.
I think about it, that is right. It was
so he got hurt January. It looks like January 31st.
Mm-hmm.
Does that change your mind?
No. I mean, especially if you're still telling me that he's going to be available for.
I don't think he'll be available opening night.
Not opening night, but like he'll be back before Christmas is what I'm thinking.
You think so? It's a full 12 months, no?
Yeah, I thought it was more 9 to 12 months.
I thought that was ACL, but all right. Mm. I mean, I get
it. The price might change.
Okay, now we're talking.
Yeah.
Now we're
price
talking.
Might change.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to do with that one. I'm not sure. You have me sold on opening night. I don't know if you can sell me as much if we're talking February.
I don't know why I thought opening night. Oh, maybe that's what happened. I think he broke his hand on opening night. That's right.
Oh, okay.
That's right. What happened. Opening.
Father Time finally getting to Kenny's memory.
Damn shame what happened to Kenny. Let's see. Okay. Carfax checkout on that. Yep. DeJounte Murray fractures his hand in opener.
Mm.
He had a rough 31 games
last
year.
Jeez, poor guy.
Poor DeJounte Murray.